The DigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Centre Show, show 157, Thursday, 22nd of TechRadar.com. Thanks to TechRadar.com for sponsoring the show. Please check out their site. There's a link in the show notes. You can click on their banner ad on TheDigitalLifestyle.com. Welcome to the show. And last week you would have heard HP talking about the MediaSmart Extender and MediaSmart TV. And this week I'll be talking to Håkan Olsson from Microsoft. We're going to be talking about the new Media Center Extenders and plus a recap on some of the other Media Center extenders. I've also got on the show Paul Appleyard. Paul was the winner of the HP HDX Dragon Entertainment PC. You'll see me on the blog giving that machine away to Paul. So I'm going to be chatting with Paul and finding out how he won it and what he's going to be doing it and what he expects of it. It's a fantastic prize, and I think Paul's happy with his package. I have a roundup of the week's news, but first we'll go to some email. This is from Bob. Hi. On show 155, a listener asked about controlling devices with the MCE IR Blaster. A program called Girder might work for him. As long as Girder recognises the MCE IR Blasters, it should work. He might find he needs a USB UIRT, but it's a pretty small investment. Before Media Center, I used Medio as my HTPC and use Girder and a USB UIRT to accept and relay commands to do a whole variety of things with my Home 30 PC. Connected components and other in-room devices which use IR, air conditioning fans, etc. Conceptually, it's as simple as just if then and that statements. It's super powerful though, because a trigger and commands this and that can both literally be anything you can do with a keyboard, mouse or remote control, the sky's the limit. For example, I was able to use a single IR command to trigger for a macro which connected my HTPC's Bluetooth serial port to my phone, started the phone software, initiated a sync, a process which was previously possible by closing Medio, dropping into Windows and using a mouse and keyboard and something like 15 clicks and various dialog boxes. I hope he finds this useful. All the best, Bob. Thanks for the email there, Bob. That's really useful to be able to do that. And I hadn't thought of using that software. I think I've talked about it way back in the early shows. And I connected Bob with the original emailer, Mark, and I got an email back from Mark. So, hi Ian, just to update you on where I've got on to controlling devices with the MCE IR Blaster. I tried to use the Girder software as per Bob's suggestion, and it appears that Microsoft do not provide the hooks to control the inbuilt IR Blasters outside of Media Center set-top box control. This was confirmed by someone in one of the resources I had on a post on some forum, and my inability to get to control with Girder. Bob suggested using the USB UIRT in his response, which will solve the problem, but not with the built-in IR Blaster. A cheap solution, but not as elegant. Taking this a step further, M-Control supports the same USB UIRT product, and in comparing Girder and M-Control for use with Vista Media Center, I think M-Control will be better as it has a nice Vista Media Center interface. So a USB UIRT has been ordered, and I will progress this and test it with both Girder and M-Control and report back when I get time to set this up. Cheers, Mark. Thanks for the email, Mark. That'll be a neat solution, that, using the USB control and M-Control to control all your various devices. So that'd be nice to get going. So please let us know how you get on with that. And I do like the fact that Mark and Bob were connected together by the show and come up with some solutions. And I'd be interested to hear what you're doing with anybody else is doing with IR and home automation. You know, I'd like to hear the practical uses of home automation. So send us in your story, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. I really want to hear how home automation is working for you. And we have guests on the show talking about home automation, but I want to hear it from a listener's point of view. So send those in, please. Now I've got an email from Tarrant. Says, "Hi Ian, sorry for emailing you directly, but I read around and it seems like you're a media center guru. Can you possibly help me out with something? I have two Vista Media Center machines. One, A, which is set to record all the programs on its own hard drive in the living room, and the second, B, machine is in the bedroom, and I want to access A's recorded TV. Thanks to the tips on the digital lifestyle, I figured out sharing the recorded TV part out. My question is there a way for B to automatically send a wake-on LAN signal to A when I turn B on from standby mode? In other words, both A and B are set to S3 sleep mode when they're inactive. When I turn on B, I'd like it to send the wake-on LAN signal to A so that I can access A's media. I've already programmed a batch file to send the wake-on LAN signal. I just need a way for B to know to run this program every time it wakes up. Any thoughts? Thanks in advance for your time. Tarrant." Well, I think if you've got a batch file, you're part of the way there. And my initial thoughts was you could put this in one of the startup groups, but then I was thinking about it. When it was used from sleep mode, there maybe isn't a startup group that gets kicked in from that. So I thought that another way of doing it would be to use one of the maybe some macro code. Maybe you could use one of the PowerShell or some VB code perhaps, just to detect when it's resuming from sleep mode. So I'd love to know any listeners' suggestions on that, because that's a perfect solution, that you've got everything in sleep and then you switch one on, it fires the other machine up and you're away. Now I've got an email on from John on what is could be his perfect solution for Media Center. "Hi, I thought I'd share my thoughts and experience in Media Center. Media Center is beautiful and has many features, and it comes with TV tuning, music player, image gallery, etc. But it's very slow, so I use GXbox. I thought, though, sometime in the future, this would be the Media Center of my dreams. Media Center has a big LCD TV and some sets of speakers for different uses, such as two high-quality stereo speakers and a tube amp for music, 8.1 surround speakers for HD, DVD and Blu-ray for a movie, and all of it controlled via a handheld remote or PDA or mobile phone. In every room there are two speakers, all of which are controlled by a server in the Media Center room. The wireless remote has its own high quality speakers with micro subwoofer and 4-inch touchscreen. You don't have to go to the server to add more music or picture or videos. There are two USB ports on the wireless remote that can be plugged in with USB, Blu-ray and copy from there. You could also plug it to your computer and copy it from there. Or you could plug in a thumb drive into the wireless remote and copy the files to the server. That would make a really good setup. I like the idea of having the remote control that you carry around that could also, you know, plug media into. In fact, what you're really talking about there is some kind of, perhaps, UMPC. You were saying, you know, it has its own speakers in with micro subwoofer and a 4-inch LCD screen. So definitely a small USB, a small UMPC would do that. It's almost like I use my Q1 sometimes, my Samsung Q1, it's got a 7-inch screen, so it's a little bigger, but you can listen to music on it, you can watch content on it, Media Center stuff, and you can plug your USB drives in there. But I like the other stuff as well, the 8.1 and the separate speakers for the for the music. That's an excellent suggestion. So please keep those suggestions coming. I'd really like to hear how that could work. Now an email from John. "Hi Ian, just found your site while looking for some help with my HP Media Smart Server and wondered if you could spend a few minutes helping out a complete noob out. Anyway mate, I've installed an add-in called WebGuide so I can watch video on my server while I'm away from home. I need audio and video codecs installing. I've been searching the net and PowerDVD keeps popping up saying it works well on Windows Home Server and has all the video codecs. But my problem is, how do I install it as it's an .exe file? So I suppose my question is, how do I install an .exe file on my Windows Home Server? I appreciate it if you could help us. I can't find the answers anywhere else and I'm too dumb to figure it out myself." Well, thanks John. Certainly not too dumb. You've got pretty far with that. I think what you really want to do is just remote control your Windows Home Server to get to the desktop, and you can do this by using a remote desktop. So on say your Vista machine, if you just type remote desktop, it'll search for the program, the remote desktop client. You can then type in the name of your server. So if it's called home server, you just type in home server. It'll ask you for your main administration password when you log in, and you can get onto the desktop then. You'll see the start menu and everything else. So there you can actually double click on the exe and do the installations as you need. So hopefully that will answer your question. If not, let us know, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Got another question on home server. It says, hi, Ian, I really appreciate if you could help me out. I'm in between houses at the moment and should be starting to build from scratch in the autumn. In our old house, we had a normal TV in the living room with Sky decoded attached. In the bedroom, we had a media centerpiece hooked up to a large LCD which received Sky TV signal down a coax cable linking the rooms. This worked pretty well and meant I could pause recording TV without paying the extra for Sky Plus connection. As I've said, we are building from scratch, and I have seen all that Microsoft are presenting Windows Home Server as a do-it-all solution. I was at the home building show in Glasgow at the weekend, and the IT companies present only wanted to sell me their kits for home automation. None of them were aware of Home Server, and only one was aware of Media Center. I'd be hugely thankful. What I hope to achieve is a home server to centralise data and remote access, to manage music pictures, to back up various PCs and laptops, to control home automation, and to control the content distribution of live recorded TV. I believe the first three work straight out of the box, and I have seen adverts for companies wanting to sell me home automation kit. I'm struggling to get my head around the recorded live TV, and I'm thinking that I would have two or three Sky decoders which can be viewed on, say, five TV monitors positioned around the house, but I've not seen anything that appears to fit my criteria. I'd be looking to play music in all the areas, at least the same number of locations, probably more. Any help would be greatly appreciated. And that was from Ian. Thanks for the email, Ian. Some of the scenarios you mentioned there are already easily available. So, home, like you said, home server, centralizing your data, music, your pictures, your remote access, and the backups, that's all done. Home automation, actually home server, you can do this on home server or on a media center machine. M-Control from Embedded Automation, we've already talked about them. They do a home server version of M-Control, so that would be perfect for that. That would do your security stuff and your home automation stuff. And distribution of content for recorded TV and live TV. Well, home server is not really going to do that. It can certainly do recorded TV by sharing it out. For live TV, you're going to need a media center box in there, and with Sky, you're going to have to use analog capture cards with a Sky decoder. So where you have a Sky box, you then have you capture the output of the Sky box into a media center machine, which then can record it. And I think you can certainly go for a dual box, so you can record from two Sky decoders at the same time. To go any more than two, I think you'd have to have another media center machine. You could then look at pooling the recorded TV sharing out, not so that home server and media center can see each other's content, so that way you get to watch the recorded TV on any of the devices. With live TV, you'd just be the media center machines that are connected up to the Skybox, and of course any extenders. So you could have one media center box with two Sky decoders serving five extenders, so there's a good way of getting content around. So there's lots of different options, and as always with these things, I'd be interested to hear what listeners think, and send me an email, post them on the forums on thedigitallifestyle.com. There's great forums on there now, so you could post some of your thoughts on there. But let me know what you think. I'm distributing content around using extenders and Freeview card, but it's a similar theory. I can pick up recorded TV and live TV in quite a few rooms around the house just by using extenders. Finally, on the email, I've got a tip on picture quality, which I read an email on last week's show about picture quality. Hi, Im. Love the show. Keep up the awesome work. In show 156, you had an email asking for help with a new media center setup that had a horrible tuner quality. I recently had the same problem. After extensive research, I found out that newer graphics cards were the issue. Basically, the way I understand it is that the picture comes from the tuner, and the video card looks at the low quality of the standard def TV and says, this won't do, and then applies tweaks and optimizations that it thinks are good. But in fact, makes the picture, in my case, come out almost mosaic-like. Here's a link to a registry tweak that I used to make the picture much better. Not perfect, but definitely better. There's one for the ATI cards, but I couldn't find anything for the NVIDIA cards. Hope this helps. Thanks for your hard work, Mike Detzel. Thanks for the tip, Mike. The link that Mike mentioned I've included in the show notes, so you can give that one a try if you're an ATI user. I'm going to send Mike a copy of Big Screen Photos 2.0 for his help. It's annoying, isn't it, when software tries to optimize the picture quality and ends up reducing the quality. So that's definitely a good tip to turn that off. I also wanted to mention an interesting post from Tarrant in the forums. I mentioned the forums before, but I thought this might be interesting to other listeners, so I thought I'd mention this. He had a problem with Media Center seeming to slow down network transfers, and he found a solution that I thought I'd read out. So the problem was that the network seemed to be slowing down when he was in Media Center mode. He says, I think I figured out the cause. It's due to how Vista's multimedia class scheduler throttles down network speeds to 10 packets to improve multimedia playback. This throttle is only apparent on gigabit networks, as 100 meg LANs are already saturated at this rate. And he gives a link to a TechNet blog on the details on this and a workaround. He says, I applied the registry treat from Microsoft as above and now get 45 megabits through my Vista and XP Pro machines, even if Vista Media Center is running in the background and playing a DVRMS file. I hope this helps out other users. So that's an interesting tip there, and interesting to read the article as well about how Vista and does network copying. So have a look at that, link for that in the show notes. Right, we better get some news items, and here's a couple from this week. Premium Vista Media Center manufacturers VideoBox have launched an in-wall touch panel. It's got a 12.1-inch touchscreen with which Windows XP embedded. I love the idea of the touch panels, especially with something like XP embedded on it. You can embed home automation software and other media applications on there. So I'm going to be interviewing Stephen Chung from VideoBox in a couple of weeks. So if you've got any questions about that, let me know, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com, and the link to the full press release in the show notes. Chris Lanier has details of a beta plugin for the Hopag HVR 1250 and some other cards that enable unencrypted QAM or Media Center. He said Hopag have taken the touch from Avamedia and created an unencrypted plugin for Vista Media Center. It supports the HVR 1250, 1600, 1800, and 2250. Both Vista 64-bit and 32-bit supported as well. That would be great. So if you're able to receive those signals and you've got one of those cards, then you'll be able to use that with your setup. So have a look at that link in the show notes. Now, an interesting piece of news this week. Anthony Park has been on the Media Center show in the past talking about MCE Browser, and he, developer of My Netflix recently, has announced that he's going to be working for Netflix. Anthony's written some great Media Center applications, and I really hope that his skills will be put to good use by Netflix and that maybe Media Center will get some attention from the company. And that's if you're using his My Netflix application. He says, I'll continue to work on My Netflix. I received permission to continue with the maintenance and further development of My Netflix in my own time. So congratulations to Anthony, and have a look at link for that in the show notes. Ed Bott always talks sense, as I've said before on the show. And Ed's been talking about how to get the best out of Windows Vista, and he's up to part 4 of his article now. And in part 4, Ed looks at services, and really it counters the myth that you should disable Windows services or some of the bad advice that you get about Windows services. He says about it, today's installment in the series is a little different. Mostly it's about not wasting your time following bad advice. Dozens of websites purport to offer tips on how to speed up Vista. In most of the cases, I've found the advice to be fairly obvious, but I've also read plenty of popular tips that are just plain bogus. So have a look at that link for that in the show notes. As I mentioned at the start of the show, I gave away $5,000 worth of equipment, a fantastic HP HDX Dragon home entertainment notebook or laptop. It's not, I say laptop, but it's a big thing. Have a look at the video that I did in the show notes. It's a great media center machine, Blu-ray on there, huge 1080p screen on there, and the prize pack comes with games and Blu-ray discs and everything else. So Paul Appleyard won the prize, and so I called Paul up this week to find out what he was going to use it for. Paul Appleyard, congratulations, winner of the HP Dragon machine.
Thanks very much, Ian. Yeah, really happy about that.
And I'm sure listeners already know from seeing the blog, but it's an amazing machine and bundle of gear as well. And you were just drawn out at random. I just better explain how I did it as well. I got all the correct entries into a folder on Google Mail and then wrote a visual basic program to pick out a number, and yours was that number of email.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. As I said earlier, before the interview, I couldn't believe it. I had to check the blog just to double check that the email was true, basically. So yeah, it was amazing. Everybody today was very envious, calling me lucky and a few other words that I can't repeat.
It's I don't know if you've got a chance to see the video, but it is an amazing machine, and with Vista 64-bit and 4GB of RAM, and it's a real powerhouse, but it makes a great media center machine.
I did check the video, actually. We'll see how it goes, because with the media center, I'd like to see how I could possibly combine the two, because I've got a media center with my TV, and obviously this is a bit more portable, so it'd be nice to see how I can get them to work together.
Yeah, I mean, you should be able to share content between the two. So you'll be able to get your content on that machine. It's a very nice machine. It would look pretty cool in sort of if you're running in a kitchen or something, or a bedroom, because it's a very stylish looking machine.
Yeah. Which is what we intend to do, actually. We found a home for it upstairs in our bedroom. So because at the moment we've got a really bad 14-inch TV, so we thought, this would be ideal for up there, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, it's just you'll find yourself on it quite a lot, because there's a hell of a lot of stuff with it. It's got the Blu-ray on there as well, and the speakers and everything sound fantastic. Yeah.
I'm actually really interested in the Blu-ray to compare it back to back with my Blu-ray that I've got at the moment on my PC. See if there's any quality difference in the audio mainly. I don't know sort of what the audio is on the laptop, so be good to see.
Yeah, it's got HDMI in it, and it's actually got the subwoofer and everything built into the unit as well, so the speakers are pretty good on there.
Excellent. Yeah, I just want to say thanks to everybody, obviously yourself and HP, and I think there was another company as well.
It was BuzzCore.
For giving this fantastic prize away. It's really, really good. Just can't wait to get it.
Yeah, and we're going to shipping it out tomorrow, and you'll also get all the stuff as well there. There's the Blu-ray movies, and there's games, and there's video editing software. So maybe you can do as a video review and edit it with the video editing software.
When it ships, I'll sit down and I'm sure I'll be playing with it for weeks, finding out everything about it and trying to figure it out. But I'll let you know as soon as I get it what I think of it. I think it's going to be brilliant.
Oh, brilliant. Well, congratulations again, and maybe I'll give you a few weeks and we'll call you back up on a future show to find out how you're getting on with it.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks very much.
Well, many thanks, Paul. So well done to Paul. I hope you enjoy your PC. So now I'm going to take a break and a message from One Voice, and I'll be back with Håkon Olsen.
Introducing Media Center Communicator, the perfect complement for Windows Media Center. Imagine walking into your home and simply speaking to play music, watch TV, read and send email, call to order pizza, and more. Now with Media Center Communicator, you have full control of your digital home using only your voice. And best of all, there is no voice training required. And built on OneVoice's Media Center Communicator, MC Each Speech Tools is a powerful speech recognition toolkit, allowing developers of Media Center compatible applications to easily incorporate speech recognition commands as features. OneVoice offers licenses for MCE Speech Tools along with its Media Center Communicator to the rapidly growing community of Media Center developers. Just say it to play it. To learn more, go to www.onev.com.
Well, Håkon, welcome back to the Media Center Show.
Yeah, thank you, Ian. Thanks for the opportunity of coming back.
Yeah, it's the I think this is now the third time on the show now.
Yeah, I think so. Starting to get popular, huh?
Very regular. Now, we talked extenders at CES. So just for a quick recap before we go on to that, just give us a brief on your role at Microsoft and how that relates with the extenders.
Yeah, so I'm in the connected TV division at Microsoft, responsible for go-to-market and market plans for the new extenders. And I work not only with our own marketing efforts, but also help our partners that take extenders to market to build great marketing programs for their own devices.
And since CES, we got a glimpse of the new range of extenders coming out, and we've actually now got some in the market, the Linksys and the D-Link. And HP, the latest manufacturer to actually come out with their new stuff. So, why do you think is it important that HP to bring Media Center extenders out?
Yeah. First of all, what's really good with all the new extenders, what they all have in common is that they all support all the new different formats of video and audio that consumers are using, and that you can have a wireless connection to your PC so that you don't have to run wires across your house. Now, in addition to that, HP and the other device manufacturers bring all kinds of form factors, so everything from the Linksys small device to also have a DVD player with built-in extended functionality, to the D-Link, which is a more standard audio-video rack style device. But then on HP, they're actually the first one to bring to market here in US a TV with a built-in extended functionality. And the MediaSmart TV, as you saw at CES, has built-in wireless connectivity, so you actually don't need any box at all. It can talk directly to your PC over your wireless home network. And now, if you already have a TV, HP is now bringing out their new digital media receiver, the MediaSmart Connect device, which you can hook up to any high-definition TV.
Mm. And how important do you think it was for MediaCentre as a platform to get someone like HP producing an extender? And because the other extenders have typically already had sort of digital media receives and those kind of things, but HP is kind of new to the MediaCentre market, or for the extenders anyway.
Yeah, we're excited over the breadth and depth of partners that we are able to bring on board to bring Media Center extenders to market, ranging from the wireless companies like Linksys and D-Link to also have great PC consumer brands like HP. And as we announced at CES, Samsung is now working to take a device to market as well. So we're really excited to have the depth and breadth of partner engagement across different categories, so that the consumer, when they want to buy a device that fits their lifestyle, they can go everything from a TV with built-in functionality to a form factor that fits their lifestyle.
Mm. I guess that's the choice, isn't it? That the extended range now that's in place is really varied. You've got from the Xbox 360 to the small D-Link to the sort of the AV size Linksys, and all the way up to built-in TV. So that is important that range is being offered.
Yeah, exactly. And what we found is that, it's now over 18 million people that have an Xbox 360, and all the Xbox users can use the built-in Media Center extended functionality to use the pictures and music and even live and recorded TV and online services that they can get through their PC with Windows Vista Premium or Ultimate. But in addition to their Xbox, they may not want to buy a second gaming machine in the house, or they may not get their wife's or husband's approval to buy another game box. And that's where all these new extenders come in great, because they are designed to fit the living room lifestyle, since they're completely quiet and cool running. There are no fans that create noise, and they all have different style and form factor that fits in nicely in the living room.
Mm. And do you think that the message to consumers is getting out there now that that this extended functionality is available? Because I think a lot of people have got Xbox 360s and probably don't realise that they can have the extender hooked up with Vista.
Yeah, and we're certainly getting there. We think there's still a lot of consumers that have Xbox that doesn't necessarily know that they have this functionality, and we think that a lot of the consumers that have a Windows Vista PC, and actually it's now over 100 million consumers in the world that have a Vista PC, where the majority have Media Center on it already, and we definitely think that we need to reach out to all of these consumers so that they can start to experience the greatness of Media Center on their PC. And we've done a number of things over the last few months where I think I told you last time we had a chat that we were going to launch an online marketing campaign here in US, which we now have run, and we saw significant interest and uptake from that campaign, and that more and more consumers are now starting to realize what they already have.
I guess that it's only really in the last couple of months that the extenders have actually been sort of in the shops and arriving in people's homes.
Yeah, the extenders started to come to market in late December from Linksys, and from them more and more devices have come to market, and you know, the Media Smart TV firmware was completed and sent out to the users in the last few weeks. So we're still kind of in the early stages, and we look forward to the upcoming holiday where we hope to be able to get more and more consumers to start use this technology.
And it was interesting when I was talking to HP about the update for the Media Smart TV, and how we're transitioning away from the sort of the old style hardware upgrades to a more software based upgrades, where something like the HP can be just a firmware upgrade that's downloaded over the internet, and the TV is then suddenly a Media Center extender.
Yeah, and we've been working closely with HP to make that a seamless experience, and from what we know, it has been working really well to receive this firmware upgrade that then get downloaded to the TV, and then in a very seamless way let the consumer know that there is now new functionality on the TV. So no need to send the TV into the shop anymore. You just get the new functionality and features sent to you over the internet.
Yeah, it's amazing. I was just how things have changed in just the last few years that you can even do that.
Yeah, exactly, and that is a technology that you know, with the Media Center Extender platform, we have a technology to enable our partners to do firmware upgrades in the background, and that's something that all of them are utilizing. And HP has built a great backend to provide it to their Media Smart TVs, as well as their Media Smart Connect DMRs.
Yeah, just tell us briefly about the DMR, because that's slightly different. So that's kind of the extended functionality, but it's in a box rather than in the TV.
Yeah, that's correct. It's a standalone box, which is it's a very nice industrial design. It's in piano black, and what's different with the DMR is that it has a media bay where you can have local media to put in. And it also comes with an HDMI cable and a backlit remote control that is programmable for up to 5 devices. So it's a really nice Media Center extender that looks really nice and has some nice functionality.
So you've got the HP with the built-in TV, you've got the HP with their receiver. The D-Link one, I noticed that got some good reviews when people were using that. So what's the form factor of the D-Link unit?
The D-Link unit is designed to go, it's basically a standard AV rack, so it's 17 centimeter wide, and it's a very thin unit, so it looks very sleek and nice. If you have an AV rack with like a audio video receiver and a DVD player, it fits really nicely on top or somewhere in the stack of the electronic component. So D-Link is a great form factor if you already have an audio video stack and just want to add one more unit.
And then of course, the Linksys one, which we've talked more about on the show because I've actually got one of those unit on review, but they're a slightly smaller form factor.
Yeah, what's interesting with Linksys is that they actually have two devices, one that is very small, very sleek looking. It's actually the smallest one of them all. But they also have a DVD, upscaling DVD player with built-in extender functionality. And that is actually quite interesting for a lot of consumers, since the one thing that you can't do is to extend a DVD from the Media Center PC. So to have the ability to, from one device, play both DVDs and use Media Center extender functionality is appealing to a lot of consumers.
Absolutely. And finally, the other unit that's due to come out soon is a Samsung one, which we did get some good information out of you at CES, which is basically an add-on for the existing range of TVs.
Yeah, so the Samsung device is designed specifically for Samsung TVs, and it will work with Samsung TVs only. And the reason for that is that they are using the HDMI CEC control protocol. So what that means is that the remote control you get with the TV, or the remote that comes with the Samsung extender, actually works over IR to the TV. And then the TV translates to an HDMI signal that controls the extender device. And that is the protocol that works with Samsung TVs only.
I think what I like about the extenders, though, there is, like I said before, a huge range of options, so really you can probably more or less find one that will suit your needs.
Yeah, and what we've done is that we've put a website together where you can go and see pictures of the different devices and read about their functionality, and even links to our partners' sites where within a more technical information. And that website is extenderforwindowsmediacenter.com. And I know, it's a long URL. We tried to get a shorter one, but that's the one. So extenderforwindowsmediacenter.com. Long but intuitive. If you go there and click on products, you'll be able to see the different devices. And actually on that site, we actually built an experience section as well. So if you click on the experience tag, you'll be able to see how fiction family walks through a house and show what they have done with Media Center and extenders throughout their house. So if you haven't been there already, please take a look.
Yeah, I'll have a look at that. I noticed actually that the some of the marketing on the Xbox website that's got showing how they can use an Xbox as a Media Center. I thought that was pretty good, to showing off an Xbox user the kind of things that they can do.
Yeah, exactly. And we are if you go to the website, the extender for Windows Media Center.com, if you look in the bedroom, we actually feature an Xbox, but then in the living room, we have a TV with built-in functionality, and in the office, we have the Media Center PC, and in the kitchen, we have a small four-factor extender that is being used for slideshows and music when the family is cooking. And so, please go take a look.
Yeah, and I'll include a link for that in the show notes so listeners can just follow the link so they don't have to remember the long URL.
I appreciate that.
I think hopefully there's a good future for the extenders. And I know we cannot talk about devices that haven't been announced yet, but do you think that we're going to see this trend for more devices coming with extenders, and perhaps more devices having built-in extender functionality?
Yeah, we are working constantly with a variety of consumer and PC manufacturers, and we don't have anything to announce today, but we're getting a lot of requests, and we are working hard to get more and more compelling extenders to the market. But the fact that we have both the D-Link, the two devices from Linksys, and now both the Media Smart TV and soon the Media Smart Connect DMR, as well as the Samsung coming out. It's a pretty compelling catalog of products that hopefully will appeal to the breadth of consumers that we're targeting.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really they've changed how I use my Media Center PC. It's more of a server now, and I use extenders, particularly the Xbox, but I use the Linksys one as well. So it has changed the way that I interact with my media, and definitely for the better.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear.
Well,
spread the word.
Yeah, well, we keep trying. Well, many thanks for your time today. I do appreciate taking time out of meetings to pop onto the show. It's great to have you back on the show, and I love hearing about extenders, and hopefully we'll get you back on in the future to hear more about them.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ian. I appreciate your invitation. I look forward to hear from you again.
Okay, that's it for this week's show. Thanks to everybody who's sent in the emails. I do like keep getting them, so please keep them coming, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. I haven't mentioned Twitter on this show yet, so now's my plug for that. If you're on Twitter or you're not on Twitter, join. It's a free account you get, and you can just do a little micro blogging, so just 140 characters saying what you're up to, and you can find me on there, isdixon, so please follow me. Don't forget blogs and forums and Facebook group, etc., and I'll see you next week. Bye.